You're tuned in to season one of Tower After Hours, where we amplify some of the voices that make up Lancaster County. Across six episodes, we'll be sitting down with guests and exploring how they contribute to and elevate individuals and businesses in our community.
From young professionals making a lasting impression to seasoned marketers, we'll discuss some of the tactics they're using to leave an impact in their organizations and beyond.
Let's dive in. Yeah, welcome back to episode 3 of season 1 of Tower After Hours. Over the past 2 months, we've sat down with a few different people in the community. We sat down with Brianna Tai-Tai from Lancaster EDC and talked about the power of first impressions and building connections. And in February, we sat down with Mackenzie Bender from the Spooky Nook and talked about how the Nook plays a role in bringing tourism into Lancaster. But this week, we're talking with Tower's very own SEO extraordinaire, Alex Davis, to chat through finding your passion. So, Alex, thank you for being here. We're excited to have you.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. So, Alex joined the SEO team back in October.
Yes.
So, it's almost been 6 months. Oh. That's crazy.
I know, my reviews are in the corner.
No, it'll be great. I think this was an easy decision for us when we knew we wanted to talk about finding your passion, because since you started here, just like the energy that you bring is so infectious, and you just, aside from your SEO knowledge, like you bring such a good energy to the office. So we're excited to dig into that a little bit today and share it with everyone else.
Appreciate that. Yeah. It means a lot.
Yeah. So let's just start with how you motivate yourself. Like, how do you come into work and be excited to take on the day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that's actually not really like any sort of like routine or anything, really. Yeah. It's just kind of like my own desire that I crafted, that I just want to do the most that I can do, the best that I can do. And I want to be the best that I can be. So in order for me to do that, I have to do it, you know. I have to get up, and if I don't push the rock forward, then the rock's not going to move. So I kind of just look at it like I really don't have a choice. I have to kind of get to the grind. And
yeah,
like you said, when it comes to what I'm doing, the passion is what really you know, makes it worth it in the first place. So like, without the passion, there really is no motivation. So I'd probably say, I guess it starts with the passion, and then kind of just figuring it out, like what do I even love in the first place? And then that love kind of fuels itself.
Yeah. What about SEO do you think you are so passionate about?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah. I was just thinking about that actually. And I think just the whole strategy behind it from start to finish, like I really like being able to be creative from the beginning of a website and kind of listening to what the actual goals and concerns are from the actual client, and then kind of making like a unique crafted custom with all this data, like just kind of putting so many considerations in mind. Like that's like a buzzword in marketing, right? Considerations. But like I just love considering so much things in order to like make the plan, putting it in action, and then seeing the results, and then going from there.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
I feel like it's always so rewarding to see the results, especially when you start from the beginning, especially in marketing, because I feel like a lot of times it's not a quick result, or it's not like an immediate boost. And so it takes a lot of time and effort. And so even in content, I feel like we see something that we posted, doesn't really see any like result or anything. It just kind of is in the universe, in the Googleverse, I shall say. And then you realize like 6 to 7 months later, you're like, oh, this got a conversion, or like it's getting traffic or something like that. So marketing is definitely not something like an instant boost of serotonin. It's like you have to put in the hard work.
Especially SEO. Like that takes time and organic strategy.
Yeah,
you got to be patient with it. And sometimes that's hard with clients who expect to see like the change right away. Props to you.
Yeah, seriously, gonna be me.
I mean, hey, we're all playing the long game here.
Yeah, that's true.
cannot believe this was not mentioned right away, but
yeah,
you are a Shippensburg grad.
Ooh.
I mean, it's just becoming.
Yeah, next month we're going to have to find another Eton grad.
It cannot be anyone. Or Messiah. We can get Marissa.
Oh, yeah, we could get someone from.
Although.
Well, why don't you just be on the podcast?
Yeah. Right. Maybe you should be on the podcast. But April, who works here, she's going to be on the podcast at some point. She's a Messiah grad.
Nice.
Anyway, so last month we had Mackenzie Bender on here, and she was a Shippensburg grad. And we were kind of talking about marketing a little bit and, like, finding our passions in marketing. And at Shippensburg, there's not, like, an SEO-specific class or major or really anything. So where do you think that sparked initially when you were like, SEO is the path that I want to go into?
Yeah, thanks. Good question. So you're right. There is nothing specifically like pertaining to digital marketing at Shippensburg. So very antiquated in that sense, but I still
love...
Yeah,
get it together.
Yeah, but still shout out John L. Grove, College of Business.
Yeah.
We love y'all. Good faculty there. I just kind of fell into SEO, honestly. I didn't know what it was. I didn't hear about it. My first introduction to digital marketing was actually an ad by this guy. Like, if anyone's listening and knows, like, in your marketing, you know what he is. His name is Ty Lopez. He basically, like, used to have all these videos where he would, like, have himself in front of these Lamborghinis and, like, Ferraris. And he'd be like, yeah, I got these cars, but, like, this marketing knowledge that I have is more valuable than these cars and stuff. So, like, that was, like, when I guess I kind of realized that you could like, someone could create a social media marketing agency and, like, reach out to businesses and, like, charge them and, like, you could do that full time. So, I was like, oh, wow, like, that's actually possible. Like, I don't know anyone that does that. So, I first started with social media marketing. That was, like, my first step into marketing because I figured I could already do social media and I was creating kind of, like, my own plans and stuff. And I helped some people with social media. It didn't go really far. I was actually not even confident I could make it into marketing because I was, like, applying for a year before I graduated to get a marketing job. And I, like, had a in at that job, too. Like, my friend worked there. So, like, I was like, okay, I got a referral and everything. Still didn't get a job. So I was like, you know what? Like, I was actually in the healthcare field. And I was like, yo, like...
Oh, wow.
Maybe I'll just ride this out and see what happens. Like, I literally did not know what I was doing in my life. This is like October of 2018. And then that's when I got a phone call. I was actually from the SEO director at this job. And I was like, yeah, I want the job. So he offered me the job there.
Wow.
Then I started like 2 weeks later. November 5th is my first day ever doing anything marketing 2018. And that's when I first got introduced to content marketing, keyword research, and SEO.
Yeah.
Nice. I feel like that's a good lesson of, like, it's not always what you expect. Especially in college, I feel like they try to put you on such a narrow path of, like, okay, you're doing all this work to do this. Mm-hmm. And then you get out there and it's like, well, what if I don't like this? Or, like, what if this actually isn't what I wanted to do? Right. And everything kind of just works out for itself.
Were you skeptical at all, like, going into it? Like, because SEO was something that was so new to you, were you kind of unsure if you were making the right decision?
I had no idea what I was getting myself into, to be honest. Like, my first day, I did not know what search engine optimization was. I never heard of it before, I don't think. And if I did, I, like, very loosely knew. Mm-hmm. I can't even think of, like, the interview that I had. I can't even remember, like, half that stuff. It was just kind of, like, so nitty-gritty. But with my first, like, experience, though, I did kind of fall in love with content more. That was like my first, like,
your understanding first
of, like, okay, like, content is, like, what drives things on the internet, and, like, that's what people are searching for, you know? Like, yeah, they're searching for keywords and stuff, but it's like the content is what keeps them on the page, the content is what keeps them engaged, content is what gives them value. So that's, like, that's why I stayed, honestly.
I
feel like, and this is something I noticed right away, is that you have a very, like, substantial understanding of how content and SEO work together. And I feel like you are able to say, like, more of, like, and not that other people don't do this or, like, we don't even do this, but, like, you can see how they work together so well and the importance of each. And I think even clients sometimes just pick one or the other and think we don't need both. So I think it's great to have, like, that holistic approach of, like, no, this is, like, equally as important as this.
Thanks. Yeah, and part of that I might say to add is part of the sales background that I have as well. And going back to that point of like what I learned in school, what I learned in boarding school is, but it was mostly sales stuff. Like mostly like marketing was basically, let's talk about buyer behavior and let's talk about like personal selling and let's read a book about selling and like let's not talk about anything about running ads or anything like that. Like I had one senior capstone course where we did like a marketing simulation.
With the bikes.
Yeah, exactly.
I do remember that.
Yeah, but I just brought that up to say, with sales and like I do love sales as well. I just like love all areas of business mostly, except like the parts you don't want to deal with. But like outside of that, like a big part of sales, and that I think goes into marketing, is like, what channels are we doing? You know, what, how many opportunities do we have to reach people? You know, is it, are we handing out flyers? Are we running ads? Are we making content? Are we doing this? And like going back to like, yeah, some business owners, they think, yeah, we should we do SEO? Should we do this? It's like, well, if you want to make the most and do the most and be the most, then you got to do the most, you know, you got to have the most and you got to go the most. And like, I'm always going to say, hey, I think 13 is better than 10. I think 10 is better than 7 and 7 is better than 4. So like just keep stacking, you know, building, and all of it eventually gets you where you want to be.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's what like makes you such an asset, is because you have a background in so many of those other things. And like on your own, you make content on your own too. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I have a, yeah, I mean, I don't want to
flex on yourself.
No, just flex. Yeah.
I do a few things. I have some music production credits floating around, some video production credits floating around, some podcast credits floating around. I do have a podcast called The Winning State of Mind. I've started that probably in like 2019 or so. That's a kind of like a manifestation of the passion that I've always had to want to help people and help people become like the best version of themselves. So yeah, that's like a passion project of mine. And then generally, I'm just usually trying to help people do something. I kind of put a lot of pressure on myself to just do a lot of things in general, but I get some of the most satisfaction in life just when I'm able to help someone or give them like a plan, or like they come to me for advice and then they say, hey, you know, this thing actually worked. And it's not because I did it for them. It's because they did something and it worked for them.
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, so
that's cool. At Tower, we do the Strength Finders. And we talked with Brianna Campbell in last season, I guess. So yeah, we work really closely with her and Jolene from Certified Strength Finders Coaches, and she talks a lot about how the Strength Finders, and I think that it's an obvious statement that these show up in your personal and professional life, but because we've only talked about it in a professional setting, it's sometimes hard, because even on that episode we were like, you know, what you're saying is so true, and I've just never taken the time in my personal life to take a step back and be like, oh, this is one of my strengths, like this is why I'm acting this way, or this is why I'm feeling this way. So do you, first off, what are your top 3 to 5 strengths, and how do you think you manifest them here in professional but also in your personal life?
I love that, and you're so right. Like I feel like I'd never really hear this in like personal life too. Because like I took this test before, and it was also used for like a organization sort of sense too, like more professional. So my first is actually changed from what it was. It's actually restorative. And then my second one is relator. That used to be my first. 3 is learner. And then I have developers, 4, and responsibility is 5. And I think all those really are who I have always wanted to be, honestly, because when it goes back to restorative, developer, and learner, I feel like those 3 combine show that I want to get as much information as I can so that I can extend and bestow that information upon others, like kind of like a soothsayer in a way. That's like what I really like. I like just giving truth. I like giving gospel. I like giving good information that is going to lead someone to a better result. And that's what I just kind of realized, like, oh yeah, that's like a personal thing, and that is embodying. Same with relator and responsibility. I think that's more of like me being a down-to-earth person and kind of the fact that I have responsibilities now. Mm-hmm. But like I feel like I've always tried to be a relatively responsible person. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just like am really focused on certain things, and I think this new score that I have with these Clifton strengths really show like what I'm focused on and what's the most important to me, which really is just growing, developing, helping, being the best I can be, and just being overall positive.
Yeah. I feel like going off those top strengths, like I can see how they make sense for you here at Tower, but also like outside of work too, like you saying that you want to be there and help people and give them good information, that all manifests itself outside of work too. So how do you, like, I guess what I'm trying to ask, we asked a similar question, I think, with Brianna. So are there times where you end up feeling like burnt out? Like, mm-hmm. how do you, because if you like carry those same strengths outside of work and at work, like if you're feeling burnt out, do you feel it in your personal life too? Like, how do you balance that, or how do you move past that?
You can't. Yeah, there's
lots of sleep.
Yeah, the limit does not exist. No balance. I did get 8 hours of sleep last night, though.
Nice. That helped.
So like, I'm feeling amazing today. Like, I'm feeling incredible today. But yeah, burnout, it is a real thing. And I think trying to do all those things, you definitely can't all the time.
Yeah.
And I think it also comes down to, I just don't think my life's all about me.
Hmm.
So that's why I don't give only to myself in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to give back to yourself too, right? Because you're giving what you have, and you cannot give what you don't have.
Yeah.
Essentially. So I try to check in with myself. I feel like when I first started college, really, I really started being more self-aware around like 2014, 2015. And that's when I just kind of realized that like self-awareness is actually like a skill,
mm-hmm.
you know, like not everyone practices or cares about being self-aware and cares about, wait, am I thinking, like, why am I thinking this thought that I'm not good enough? Where is this coming from? Let me go alone
mm-hmm.
and think about this for 20 minutes until I can uncover this and then get to the bottom of that and never deal with that again. Like, that's how I was.
Yeah.
And that's how I still am. And I think doing that helps prevent a lot of the burnout. But I think just in today's economy, today's digital age, it's just nearly impossible to not burn out, at least at some points in time. And maybe I'm just speaking for me too, but just give yourself rest.
Yeah.
Trying to check in with people, loved ones, friends as well, and really making time for yourself. I just got, for that White Elephant, I had like a journal thing that I bought.
Oh.
And like, I just like, whoever won that one, we'd like both be doing it, because like I have the two.
Oh,
and
that's
like,
cool.
It has like prompts in it, like just treat yourself with one random thing today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, like I got my way to like get myself Rita's, like,
right,
you know, E-Town Rita's opened up like 3 weeks ago.
Nice.
So we back out there again.
Did you see all the college kids walking to get their free Rita's?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh nice. Yeah, it's, we back outside with it again.
That kind of, this is sort of related, but a little bit different. I want to debate this topic. So Alex found an article, Alex Spies, sorry. It's confusing. There's two Alexes. So Alex S. found an article from Harvard Business Review, and they defined passion as something you enjoy doing without getting an external reward.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this is just like as a general curiosity. I want to know what you guys have to say. Like, is there something, well, first of all, is there something you do right now that you're not getting that external reward for? So like,
mm-hmm.
I would say probably your podcasting, like the stuff that you sort of do on the side, or maybe
are
I'm
you getting
base.
Like,
or yeah, I guess.
Are you getting paid for that?
Yeah.
Oh.
So that's crazy. It wouldn't be a Tower After Hours episode if I didn't refer to a Friends episode.
Okay.
So I'm going to refer to a Friends episode here. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the episode where Phoebe and Joey are talking about how you can't have a selfless act because anything you do is for yourself in some way. Like, even Phoebe, like, donates to Joey's, like, thing, or, like, she gets stung by a bee, and Joey's like, well, now the bee died, so, like, you feel some type of way, like, you did something. It, like, is never selfless. Like, you always, like, feel some type of way by it. And I feel like that's kind of the same thing as a passion. Like, you always have some sort of reward.
Yeah.
But external reward, I guess, would be, like, money or... But
I don't know. Would an external reward also be, like, recognition for what you're doing? Or, like, acknowledgement from others?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would think so. Like, but then you also make the good point of, like, the whole you should be, like, having a passion for your work. Like, that's how startups happen and entrepreneurship happens. And, like, eventually. So I think there's, like, it has to stem from something that you, like, don't get a, like, you would be okay with doing it without getting an external reward.
Okay.
I would think.
Yeah. Well, so that was the question I was asking. I guess I didn't ask the question.
Right, sorry.
So the question I was asking is, like, because I feel like a lot of people who start with, like, a side hustle or they're starting their own business, obviously they have that passion for what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But then there's that worry that, like, okay, now when people are depending on it and, like, the demand, if the demand gets too high, like, how do you not feel overwhelmed by that? Mm-hmm. So, like, you kind of lose interest in, or maybe not interest, but, like, you sort of lose that same fire that you had for it before. Mm-hmm. So, like, is that still a passion then? Like, could you still call it a passion? I feel like it ebbs and flows. Like, you're allowed to, everything in life is subjective. You're allowed to have moments where you're maybe not as passionate about something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that, but.
No, that was good. That was good. For me, it's a lot of pressure too. I think, like, that's kind of like what you're saying as well. Like, when you put the expectation of making money from it and getting validation from it, then now it's like, okay, you can't just have fun with it as much. It's like, is this good enough? And you start asking yourself different questions. And, like, I mean, I've sold beats, and that was not fun at first, honestly, because like, you start getting really self-conscious, like, oh my gosh, like, everyone else is selling these, like, are my beats good enough? Like, you just start getting really in your head. But like, I started making beats because I liked beats. Like, I liked music so much. I like felt like I could contribute and make a sound that I wanted to hear myself, you know? And like, when you go back to doing it that way, then it's like, okay, like, there's no one's putting the pressure on here but us, you know, but ourselves.
I feel like that's a good point. And kind of stemming off of that, like, the entrepreneurial spirit of, like, you can make anything, any passion you have, you can make it into a job. But also, like, do people always want to do that? Like, do they want to put that pressure on themselves? Because I even think about, like, passions that I have. It's like baking is one of them. And, like, is that actually something that I would want to put that pressure of, like, okay, I need to be, like, making money off of this. I need to be doing XYZ to make this successful. Whereas now it's like, this is just something fun that I do, and even helps with the burnout of my job. Like, when I'm feeling burnout, I'm like, I just want to, like, bake something, or I want to, like, do something else. And so then when does the crossover come of like, oh, this is a passion of mine, but also now it's making me feel burnout and more stressed. Finding that line is hard.
Yeah. Well, that goes into another question I think we had written down. So how do you think that people can find the balance between doing something that they're good at versus something that they're passionate about? So you're obviously, like, you're good at baking. You're great at baking.
Thank you.
I've had her cupcakes. They're really good. But how do you balance that with, like, you're also passionate about marketing? How, like,
right.
I don't know. These are questions that no one knows the answer
to. Or to be like, and maybe this will be controversial, but it's okay to not be passionate about your work. Like, maybe that's controversial of, like...
Wait, let's dig into,
like,
that.
What you talk about, how, like, the baking and marketing, like, kind of what I was saying, like, I love what I do, and I realize that there are people, Alex D might be included, that go home and learn more about what they're doing. Like,
yeah.
I know a lot of people on the SEO team are like, I'm like Googling, and I understand SEO is very like complex too, but personally, I don't think I would go home and
do more,
feel the need to learn more about my job. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if that's like a work-life balance or if it's like...
Yeah, I mean, I think that's totally fair to say. Right. Like, you have a boundary that you set that...
And like, sometimes I think that when your work is your passion, it bleeds through a lot more in your work life. So then it's like, for me, I'm fine with 40 hours a week I'm spending on something that I enjoy doing. But it's like, I think passions for me is like, these are the things that are going to help me de-stress and you're gonna help me have more fun with it.
I also think about it from like a, so when I was doing my notes, I was thinking about it this way. So I feel like I'm passionate about like marketing and my job here, but really what I'm passionate about is like the sort of the helping people out. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it's always, there's always something deeper that you can kind of dig into. So, creating something that will be shared with others and will help a business get their name out there, that's really at the core of, like, what I love doing. It's when it works for them, it's like, yes, like, we did it. We found something that it reached the right audience. So, I feel like I obviously there's days where I come into work and I'm like, ugh, another day in the office, like, type of thing. But it's not because I don't like what I'm doing. It's just everyone has days like that. So I feel like that's a totally fair assessment to say.
Yeah.
To answer your question, though, like, how does someone, like,
someone that asked it 10 minutes ago.
I think it starts with what you actually enjoy.
Yeah.
I don't think skills should even be considered at first, because you can always learn skills.
Yeah.
You don't learn how to like something all the time. Like, you can acquire a taste for something, but like, that means you might not really like it in the first place. Like, if it's something that's genuine, where you feel like you think about it, it pops up in your mind randomly, you don't have to force yourself to like it. You look forward to do it. You feel yourself lighten up. You feel yourself kind of like elevate a little bit when you start to think about it. That's legit, I think. And I agree. Like, I don't think you have to be passionate about everything in your job. Like, I'm not passionate when clients say that they don't like a keyword because they just don't want to have that certain keyword, but that keyword gets 5,000 more searches than the keyword that they prefer.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like when, you know, these nuances and these, like, situations happen where things are pushed back. I don't like when stuff's dropped on my desk last minute.
Yeah.
And it needs to get out the door by 5. I don't like that stuff, but I do like... Like what Lily said, I like realizing that what I'm doing is actually getting in front of a real-life human being. The real-life human being is searching something for a reason. They're looking for something. And if our result is showing up, then our result should be giving them everything that they're looking for and then some. And it should be enough to get them to come back and hopefully feel like, Tower Marketing did their job. Like, they answered every single question. I feel like they're good. I feel like they're savvy and experts, know what they're talking about, and I feel like I could trust them based off of everything I'm seeing just off their website alone. It's honestly like a dating profile or like a social media, you know, like, it's representation. It's its own entity, and like, it's the same thing like your body. Like, you are what you put into it, you know. So like, you put in good, you do good work, then you see good things come out of it.
I feel like that is like what you both have said makes sense. Like, and I would agree. I'm just really backtracking so people know that I love my job. I just want to make sure that it's known that, like, I feel like there are some people that really struggle with the thought of, like, OMG, I have to, like, can we just say OMG out loud?
OMG, LOL.
OMG.
IDK.
My BFF Joe.
That they have to be passionate about what they're doing day in and day out, and, like, if they're not 100% happy in their job, they aren't in the right position or their right setting. And I just don't think that's the case. And I think a lot of times, like what you're saying, like, if it's 85% of it is stuff that you love to do and at the core of your job, because exactly what you guys are saying, like, at the core of our jobs, I love doing that. And it's just, you're not really going to, you're going to find all of those nuances anywhere you go. So
yeah.
Right.
As long as you're like loving the core of it, I think that works out. Which kind of brings up, I shout out to Pam from Cargus. She's my mentor this year for the YPN Next Gen mentoring program.
Okay.
And she, the one of the first things, so I have met her only one time so far. The first thing she gave me was like a assessment that highlights are my passions, talents, and then my mission. So your talents plus your passion equals your mission. And she was like, the worst thing you can do is wake up at age 40 and absolutely hate your job. So like, I want to make sure you're focused on like, at the core, these are the things that you love doing, and these are the ways that you are talented, and this is like, because of those passions and talents, this is maybe what your path should be. And as I was taking the assessment, it never gives you like a job title or like, let me pull it up. It never gives you like a job title or like a description of what you should be doing, but it gives you like your talents. Like my top talent is connection, like meeting people, finding common interests, introducing people, building relationships. And so then it's like, okay, at the core, that is like what I should be doing. And where can I find that in the real world?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can you send the link? Or
I think the test does cost money, but I think it's so interesting.
Take a BuzzFeed quiz.
Yeah. What's my top passion in life? I wonder what my top passion is, actually. My top passion is finishing.
Wow.
Project management, keeping a team on schedule, collaborating on a project, checking items off a list.
That's true.
Yeah. I do love finishing things. Getting it done. So it's just interesting that I think, like what you're saying, the skills can be learned, and the skills, even when we started at Tower, like there's a lot of different nuances of skills that also are unique to Tower that you're going to learn eventually and pick up on as you're here longer. Yeah. But the core of your passions and talents are what you have to create yourself, or you have to recognize for yourself.
Totally.
I think the key takeaway here, and I feel like this was probably the key takeaway from Brianna Campbell's episode two, but to recognize and like be able to identify your passions. And even what you were saying before is being very self-aware and taking the time to reflect on yourself and realize like, okay, this worked really well. I really liked when I did this. Felt really icky when I was doing this, like what was the difference in my mood, what was the difference in the actions, what was the difference in like the environment,
right?
So yeah, that's honestly what I think that is like a very, very, I want to say not good, that's like not the word I'm looking for, better than good, but like a very important skill to have, or character trait to have, of being self-aware. Because I feel like even still now I'm like, I don't know. I actually don't know. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
It's also important. I found this. This is kind of like a mic drop moment for me. I literally found this quote and I was like, I don't need to talk. I don't need to write any more notes. So this is what we will leave you with. That balance is not something you find. It's something you create. So finding the balance between making sure that you're passionate about what you're doing in both your personal and professional lives is something that you have the power to create. But with that, you must be self-aware and like be able to have those check-ins with yourself. So
in order to create it, you have to know what it is.
Yep, totally.
Love. Mic drop.
Okay, I'm bringing it back in because we ask all of our guests this question.
Oh, sorry.
We just need to keep the consistency. Which you might have some exciting things. So what is something you're excited about in the future, one for your professional life and one for your personal life?
I'm excited to continue seeing what's to come with these AI updates that Google's doing. Google's making a lot of changes right now regarding like spammy content, and there's a lot of websites that were creating purely AI created content that were just like basically like link farm, so people were clicking on these, and like the meta tags and everything might be like purely optimized. Like if you're looking for like a pie recipe or something, it'll be like, click here to like learn how to make the best apple pie. You click on it, it's a bunch of like gibberish.
Love how you're saying that on Pie Day.
Right?
Nice. Love that for you.
Yeah, heck yeah. Might go get myself a slice.
Right.
After. But that, and we some of these websites in the pipeline, I'm excited to see them come to fruition as well. So a lot of good stuff, just a lot of onboarding. And like once that kind of goes into retainer mode, I think that'll be really good to see like some of the growth and opportunities we have. So looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
Working on just a few more certifications. Working on that display certification right now. And personal wise, just getting back into music, I'm focusing on mostly now. I have like so much bills and stuff I gotta like just get through.
Yeah.
Gotta file my taxes still, so that's like something I'm
yeah, me too, actually.
Procrastinating.
Is everyone looking yeah. forward to their taxes?
Yeah, I'm not. But yeah, I am looking forward to taking some trips. I have I'm going to Richmond this Friday actually.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
This weekend. And then
tomorrow.
Yeah.
Nice.
This weekend, just for like St. Patrick's Day, I guess, just to hang mm-hmm. out. And then I'm seeing Lil Wayne at the end of this month.
Okay.
And
oh my God, where?
Reading.
Nice.
Yeah, Santander Arena.
Oh my God.
And yeah, I think that's mostly it now.
That's it.
Nice. Yeah.
You might see me with a new tattoo in like a few months too, or like maybe
okay.
next month.
Okay.
All right.
Love.
Nice.
Okay. Well, thank you, Alex Davis, for being a guest on the podcast. We're inspired to go find new passions and be excited about what we do every day. And we are inspired that you are like that. And we hope that our audience is inspired by that, too. This podcast episode comes out the weekend before Easter. So I hope you all have a great holiday weekend. Tower has off that Friday.
Hey.
So we get a long weekend. There's some Aries in the room, so we're celebrating some birthdays that week.
We get some birthdays.
But yeah. Oh. Until then, see ya.
Bye.
You've just listened to another episode of Tower After Hours. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can find an exclusive look into the episode by subscribing to our monthly podcast newsletter. The link will be in our description. If you want a behind the scenes of what Tower Marketing does, you can follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram at Tower Marketing. A new episode will come out on the last Thursday of every month, and you can find us on your favorite streaming platform, including Spotify, Amazon, and Apple Podcasts.